Hi, I'm Brooke Taylor, the pastor of Missio Church. We exist to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ without having to come or go anywhere. Thank you so much for listening to our sermon series through the Old Testament book of Proverbs titled Wisdom for Life. We are so excited about what God is teaching us through His Word. It is the prayer of the elders of Missio Church that listening to this sermon would help transform you into the image of Jesus Christ and deepen your relationship with Him. We desire that this sermon would be a supplement to your regular engagement in a local church and would not replace in any way you gathering with that church and submitting to the leaders that God has put over your life. If the elders of Missio Church can be of any assistance to you, you can contact us through our website, www.missiochurch.faith. You can also email us at admin@missiochurch.faith or by calling us 631-241-2136. If you're not a part of a local church, visit with us any Sunday at 10 a.m. at 70 Smith Road in Ridge, New York, and streaming on YouTube, Missio Church LI. We hope you enjoy today's message. You know, sometimes kids will take away something intentionally meaningful that you as a parent might say, a lecture, a moment of encouragement, or even just a ruthless, brutal critique. Those things will stick with them for a life. And yet other times they pick up on unimportant things that we say that we did not intend for them to pay attention to or remember, but they hear it and they don't forget it. It's common in our household to hear Marlena say, "It's not my hula hoop," an expression that the conversation or situation has nothing to do with me, so I will stay out of it. And we've instructed Gabriel at the playground to go up the stairs and down the slide. We are one of those parents. And recently, Gabriel saw other kids going up the slide. And so he decided to take matters into his own hand, and he walked over and started to say something to them, but then he quickly walked away. And when he came back to Marlena, he told her that they were not playing the right way and that he started to correct them. But then he said, "Never mind, that's not really my hula hoop," and walked away. Some words, some expressions just stick. Well, in Proverbs, we're learning to walk in wisdom, and we learn that that begins with the fear of the Lord, knowing who God is and how we are accountable to Him. But wisdom infiltrates all of our life. It's not just simply about gaining knowledge or information. Wisdom, we learn in Proverbs 8, is not a what, it's a who. Wisdom is Jesus. He is the wisdom of God. And one of the ways that wisdom reveals itself in the lives of God's people is self-control. Most of us don't think of self-control as a spiritual issue. But Jesus demonstrated self-control in His life, His ministry, and even temptation in the wilderness when He crucified the appetites of this world for the redemption of it. You see, if Jesus did not exercise self-control, we would all be in hell. And a lack of self-control also leads us to destruction. There are many ways that the proverb speaks about self-control. And last week we learned that wisdom is seen in our self-control in relation to sex, namely a rejection of illicit sex and our pursuit of faithfulness in covenant marriage. We can say that we are wise, we can say that we follow Jesus, but if we are having sex outside of or violating the marriage covenant that we are in, then we are fools, the Bible said, and that road leads to judgment. Giving in to sexual desire outside of marriage is a spiritual matter. Walking away from wisdom, it's walking away from Jesus. Just like a lack of self-control in eating an entire box of Oreos in one sitting is a spiritual matter. But another way that self-control is revealed in us, and one of the most mentioned in Proverbs, in fact, 90 times, is how we control our tongue. Why do our words matter so much? Why does the writer of Proverbs care what we do with our tongue? Well, a typical American speaks about 700 times a day, different times. There are a lot of things that any of us might do in our day. We might do a few things 50 times a day. But 700 times, that's a lot of talking. That's a lot of doing one thing over and over again. There are very few things that we do more than a handful of times in a day. Men, on average, in those 700 times, use 7,000 words. So about every time we open our mouths, we use about 10 words to express ourselves. Women, on the other hand, use 20,000 words in those 700 times. So every time they open their mouths, they use about 300 words. But that means that there's a lot of moments, a lot of words that can get us into trouble. We use words at home, at work, in stores, in cars, at ball games, at church, at restaurants. There are many places for us to use words foolishly. But there are also many more places that we can use words today that they didn't use words 25 years ago. Of course, we have conversations and we have phone calls, but now we also have texts and posts and emails and TikTok videos and all kinds of things where we use our words. We use our words with friends and spouses and children and coworkers and arch enemies. And Paul tells us that whatever we do, whether we eat or drink or whether we speak words, we're to do all that we do for the glory of God. And that starts with our mouth. We need to have our words and mouths under control. Because we don't just use a lot of words. The words that we use are powerful. Wars have been started precisely because of words. The things that our parents say to us in discipline or in passing, in heated moments, they will stick with us for a lifetime because words are powerful. Words are never neutral. They are never meaningless. Well, why do words matter so much? Why do words matter to God so much? I think part of it is because we serve a God who is a God who speaks. Oftentimes in the Old Testament, God would say to the Israelites, don't serve those idols who do not speak and do not hear, but you serve me who does speak and who does hear. We know that God created everything in the universe, everything we see, with what? With words. He gave promises through words. He spoke words of judgment or assurance or hope, love, and redemption through words. And in the right time, the presence of God, the very being of God, was made personal. John 1:1 says that the Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. Words are powerful because God's words are powerful. Now, our words don't have the power to create like God's words create, but our words do have the power to create something. We can't create something out of nothing, but we can create a lot out of the things that are there. And of course, the danger is that Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 12 that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, he says, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Our words are important. Our words reveal what is going on inside of our heart. And our words reveal if we are fools or if we are wise. They reveal if we fear the Lord or if we fear nothing. They reveal if we're walking towards judgment or if we're walking towards life. And this morning I want you to consider a couple of things. And the first is the power of the words, particularly in the hands of the wise and the fools. Now over the next several weeks we'll be doing something a little bit different than we typically do. Typically we open a passage, we read it, we dissect it, we understand it. But in Proverbs now we're going to start to jump around a little bit. So you might want to have your Bibles open, your hands ready, and your ears open, because you'll hear a lot of verses today from Proverbs about your words. The first thing I want you to see is that the fool uses his words to deceive. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 19 says, "A truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment." Proverbs 21, 28 says, "A false witness will perish, but the word of a man who hears will endure." We know, of course, in our culture that politicians lie, our bosses ask us to lie, advertisements lie to us. And the problem is that if many of us were really honest, we don't really have a problem with lying at all. We lie to our bosses too. We lie to our friends. We lie to our spouses. We lie in our taxes. We lie to get a break at McDonald's or a discount or something free. We certainly hate it when other people lie to us, but we don't mind lying if it serves a purpose. Recently, I took my car to a body shop that a friend recommended. The guy did excellent work. I have nothing to complain about his work. But when he gave me the estimate, he said it would probably cost more than $2,500 to get the car fixed. And that's a lot of money. So I again mentioned my friend's name. Hey, did I tell you that this person sent me? Remember him? And then he said, you know, just file with your insurance claim. Say you hit a deer, and you'll pay nothing more than $500. And that was a very tempting offer. $500, $2,500. But a false insurance claim is lying. Proverbs 10, 18 says, the one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever utters slander is a fool. I don't want to be a fool. I want to tell the truth. And so the father here says to his son that those who speak lies are going to be judged, that there's a danger here. And it's not just simply speaking lies or outright lies that are foolish. It's hiding or covering up truth or omitting facts or playing loose with numbers. In Proverbs, even listening to lies is considered foolish. As followers of Christ, we shouldn't participate in any aspect of the evil of lying. Because Proverbs 12:22 says that lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Think about that. God doesn't hate a lot, but he hates lying lips. It's repulsive to him because our God is the author of truth. And Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. And God always speaks truth. And those who deceive are not just fools, John 8:44 says. Those who deceive are of the father of the devil, whose will is to murder from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. And when he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So when we lie, we are imaging our father, but we are not imaging the father that we think we are. We are imaging the evil one, the devil himself. We have to ask ourselves, who are we imaging? Second, fools not only use words to deceive, they also use words to disrupt. Proverbs 10:14 says, the wise lay up knowledge, but the mouth of a fool brings ruin near. Our words can disrupt community. It can disrupt relationships and marriages and family and friendships. There are several kinds of words that can do this. It's certainly deception, but so too can words that are wisecracking or sarcastic. We use words like this to make jokes. It brings disunity, the Bible says. But there is more truth to the jokes and the wisecracks and the sarcasm that we use than we care to admit. Gossip is also disruptive. Using crooked speech, Proverbs 19:1 says, is foolish. But many Christians have no problem gossiping. I mean, we don't call it gossip. We try to make it sound slightly more spiritual. So we say things like, well, let me just say that he or she really lacks self-control with anger. Or can you please pray for him or her because I really think that they have an alcoholic problem. Or maybe someone really should help, but I don't really want to be judgmental, so we gossip. Or sometimes we just outright belittle people, using our words to criticize their appearance or their actions or their character. In our culture, such a thing is small. We don't think much of it. We don't think it's a problem because everybody does it. So when Donald Trump belittles his opponent, we laugh. And when a friend belittles someone of another race or language, we join in because we think it's funny. But Proverbs says it's foolish. Sarcasm disrupts relationships. Proverbs 17:9 says, whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. And that's what happens when we speak not only out of turn, but when we speak forth not truthfully, when we reveal secrets that people say to us. Not just simply to tell lies, but we reveal things to us that were told to us in confidence or things that others shouldn't know. Maybe we reveal those things to make us look better or to make that person look worse, but we disrupt relationships. Proverbs 18:6 says, a fool's lips walks into a fight and his mouth invites a beating. A fool's mouth is his ruin and his lips are a snare to his soul. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of his body. The writer of Proverbs is saying there that quarrels and dissension, the unrest that we create, that we actually crave it. We actually like to see chaos. There's a reason that we sow seeds of discord. It's because we swallow it and eat it like little chocolate morsels. Proverbs 14:29 says, whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. When we use our words to lash out in anger, to protect ourselves, or to manipulate or control others, we are walking in the way of foolishness. Because a wise person, Proverbs says, controls his temper, controls his words. Because all of these things can destroy relationships. Of course, not all anger is wrong or sinful. But more often than not, when we use our words in anger, we are unwise and hasty and foolish. So whether it's deception or gossip or attacking sarcastic words, they make intimacy, trust, and relationship nearly impossible. I still remember with somewhat horror a day when one of my kids was terribly disrespectful to me and rude to me, and I lost my cool and I lashed out with hard, unwise words that overshadowed the foolishness that she was saying. And even as I spoke them in that moment, I knew I would regret them as they were coming out, but I couldn't put them back in fast enough. Like when a child gets a tube of toothpaste, and once they squeeze all over the sink, it never goes back in. And I remember apologizing with tears and brokenness to my daughter, but for several days she wouldn't even speak to me. My careless words disrupted our relationship. Trust and community built over time was nearly torn down in just a foolish moment. Now, by God's grace, she eventually forgave me, but oh, the damage that can be done when we use careless words. Because we all remember words a parent, friend, or spouse or child spoke to us, words that hurt and cut deeply, words that create disunity, words that leave broken relationships in its wake. There's a danger when we use our words like fools. It destroys what God has put together. But finally, the fools of words can damage and destroy. We all know the saying, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. And if you've ever been the target of harsh words or cutting or malicious words, you know that that is certainly not true at all. Words hurt immensely, and sometimes they hurt worse than sticks and stones. Proverbs 12:18 says, there is one whose rash words are like a sword thrust into your stomach. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. We can literally kill people with our words. We may not pull a trigger or choke throats, but we push and demean and cut with, I hate you, or you are worthless, or you are nothing, and I wish you were dead, until a person snaps. Consider these words from a young woman who committed suicide. The note left behind had simply two words. They said. That's it. That's why she did it. Vince Foster, who worked in the Clinton White House, said in his suicide note, here in Washington, ruining people is considered a sport. Death is in the power of the tongue. And time does not heal all wounds. Some wounds, words have permanent effects on people because our words have power. Again, the character of Satan is to come and to lie and to steal and to destroy. And too often our words are more like him than we care to realize. Proverbs 18:7 says, a fool's mouth is his ruin and his lips are a snare to his soul. Notice it's not the action of the fool, but his words are his ruin. And it often brings ruin to others. Maybe we should care more about the power of our words than we do. That's why Ecclesiastes 5 says, Be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For dream comes with much business and a fool's voice with many words. Proverbs 10:19 said, when words are many, transgressions is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. In the New Testament, James tells us in chapter 1 of his letter, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear and slow to speak. Chapter 3 says, the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Those are hard words. If you don't control your tongue, your religion is worthless. Or in the words of Proverbs, you're a fool. Words are powerful. They deceive and they disrupt relationships and community and churches and families and marriages. And they damage and destroy and kill people softly, but they kill nonetheless. And so we're warned not to be a fool. There's another path for us, the path of wisdom. And I have a little thing I want you to have so that way it can help you. You don't need to eat these. You can just hold on to them. Bob, please do not open your package. But I'm going to ask, where do I have anybody here? Oh, sure. Here, Verge, you're young and vibrant. Here, can you pass these out to everybody? Thank you. Thank you. Give everybody M&M. So the reason we're going to pass out M&Ms is because our points this morning are M&M. That's our point. It's our point. So it's easy to remember. So you can remember to use your words wisely when you see a package of M&Ms. Remember, M&Ms melt in your mouth, not in your hands. Keep your words maybe in your mouth more and not out of your mouth, right? And I know it's an ampersand, and my illustration is, or my words are in. You'll figure it out in a second. But just be flexible and gracious with me because I'm also old and not vibrant, and so sometimes I am a little bit cheesy. M&Ms, that's what I want you to remember today. I want your words to be wise like M&Ms. And the first way the wise use words is to motivate. To motivate people. Proverbs 25:11 says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. Like a gold ring or an ornament of gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. Like the cold of snow in the time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him. He refreshes the soul of his masters. Proverbs 11:11 says, by the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked, it is overthrown. Our words can motivate or inspire people to action. They can have a positive effect on a single person or a group of people. How often have we been moved to action or to repentance or to service because we heard a sermon of words, or we heard a speech filled with words, or we read an author's book full of words that somehow stirred our hearts to righteousness? And while we don't have the power to create things into existence like God does with our words, we do have the power in our words to stir up and bring life in what we say. There's a positivity in the message that we give, or in the content or the context. My son likes to create inventions out of Legos. And for the most part, he uses the same 25 pieces of Legos to create and recreate different things every day. And he's getting quite good at it. But imagine if I came into the living room and picked up all of his Legos and threw them against the wall so they shattered into 25 pieces. That is the negative way that our words can affect the hearts and minds and lives of people. But positively, our words can build others up. It's like building up Legos. As we speak positively, we are placing blocks on top of one another. We are building stability, and we are building relationship, and we are enlivening people with our words. I mean, consider how often Jesus would speak to people and change their entire day. How he would encourage a leper, or welcome a widow, or let a child sit and speak with him. And even his own enemies, he would welcome them with kindness and words. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. How quickly we can take our words and tear apart into pieces what we've spent time building, because careless words tear down and discourage and distort. But words like I love you and you are mine, or you are special, or you are a blessing, or simply thank you, are powerful words. We want our words to be few, but when we speak, we want our words to be filled with motivating words, inspiring words, so that those around us might be encouraged and led to righteousness and to life. Secondly, not only are we to motivate, but we are to M&Ms. We are to inform people with our words. Proverbs 15:2 says, the tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouths of fools pour out folly. We can use our words to instruct others in knowledge. We can do it in unimportant things like politics or history. We can teach people what is true and what is not true in our world. But we can also speak truth in terms of Scripture and speak truth in love, so that others might grow in insight and awareness and knowledge and wisdom. You know, it's quite sad to me that a lot of us as Christ followers are so quick to gossip, and we are so quick to slander, and we are so quick to deceive. But when we see someone in sin or in righteousness or in foolishness, all of a sudden we don't want to be judgmental, critical, or call something out. We want to be quiet. But God wants us to use our words to teach others about sin and to teach them about repentance and to teach them about Christ. That our words might be filled with a purpose to direct them to know Jesus. It may mean we have to address certain things in the lives of people that we know and care about. Maybe it's gossip. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's a lack of self-control. Maybe it's sexual sin of a friend or a child or a spouse. But we care for them. We want to instruct them and move them on in wisdom. But also our words can inform the gospel. We can serve as a witness that this is the kingdom of Jesus, that this is our God, that we can teach people and inform them about what God has done for them through the person and work of Jesus Christ. And invite them to know him. Our words can motivate. Our words can inform. And lastly, the wise use the power of words to mend or to heal. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Notice, death and life are in the power of our words. Not just negatively, but positively. 15:4 says, a gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness and it breaks the spirit. Words can injure or cripple, but they can also mend and restore and bring things to life. Simple words like I'm sorry, or please and thank you, or please forgive me, or I was wrong, transforms wounds to health. Words of love and kindness and respect transformed injury to healing. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. It's in the power of the keyboard. It's in the power of the tweet. And we are to keep our tongues from evil and our lips from speaking lies. But we are also to be generous with words of righteousness and life and love and Jesus and the gospel. There is more at stake than our reputation. Words have power, and foolish words reveal that we may be on a road to destruction. Because foolish words injure and cripple or kill, but wise words reveal that we are on the road to life, and those words bring healing and restoration and health. How are you speaking? Are you motivating, inspiring, and mending? You know, some of you don't think much about your words. You might be dishonest and disruptive and damaging towards others because you've never come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Bible says that your words flow from your heart. And your heart, the Bible says, is deceptively wicked and far from God, darkened and filled with sin. And so in order for your words and your speech and your life to change, you need a new heart. But that's exactly what Jesus came to do. He lived a perfect life. His speech and words were filled with nothing but goodness and righteousness and holiness, that he might be the representative that you need. And then he died on the cross, silently before his oppressors, without words, in the place of the judgment that you deserved. So that when you place your faith and your hope in Jesus for your salvation, he gives you a new heart. One made of flesh and not of stone. One that loves him and not yourself. And out of this new heart flows words of truth and encouragement and healing and life. And faith. Maybe today you need to hear the call of Jesus and respond not with many words, but with few words. That I'm a sinner, and that I believe that you lived and died for me, and that I trust in you as my Savior. Those are words that Jesus loves to hear. For others of you, you are followers of Jesus, but your words have been careless and foolish in your life. You believe in Jesus, but your words reveal that your heart at times is far from him. Your words sound more like the world, more like an unbeliever, more like the evil one, because you're dishonest to your boss and on your taxes and to your family and your friends. And you think it's funny, just like the world does. And you disrupt relationships with callous and gossipy and harsh and manipulative language. And you think that it's just who you are. And you damage the hearts and minds and lives of people with vindictive, crushing words, but it's just moments of uncontrol. No, Proverbs says it's a sign of a character. It's a sign of your heart. It's a sign of foolishness, and it's a sign that you're in danger. It's time that you listen to the counsel and correction of others and begin to submit your words to the authority of Jesus. Let everything you do, whether you eat or drink or speak, do it all for the glory of God. Some of you are unconvinced of the power of your words, not that you're using them for dishonest, disruptive, or damaging purpose, but you aren't tapping into the advantages that they can do. Your words have power, and they can change the course of someone's destiny. It can transform and uplift their day. But you're too focused on yourself that you don't see how your words can positively impact others. God wants you to use your words with the same intentionality that you would use a car or your resources or your time. Don't just avoid foolish things, but cultivate wise practices. Use your words for the worship of God, certainly, but use them for the building up of others. A kind word to your server at a restaurant, a thankful word to the grocery store clerk, or to the person that you're on hold with at the customer service department of your health insurance. A word of encouragement to your kids or your spouse. Children, use your words to speak respectfully to your parents, lovingly to your siblings, and encouragingly to your teachers. Learn to practice gratitude with your words, whether it's a word of thanks to the nursery workers downstairs or a written card expressing thanks to the one who encouraged your spirit this week. Use your words to promote love and patience and kindness. Parents, your kids need to know that you love them. Say that often and accompany those words with hugs and affection, whether you are a touchy-feely person or not. Your spouse needs to hear that you love him or her often. Men, it is manly to say, I love you. It is not feminine. It does not mean you're weak. It's a good thing. Parents, teach your children the words of Scripture that says Jesus loves them, but also teach your children that how they use their words or don't use their words matters to Jesus as well. Don't wait till there's a crisis or chaos in your house. Teach them every day as you go in, as you go out, when you rise, when you go down in your car, at the ball field, every day and in every way. Teach your children wise words. And others of you just simply need to use your words more often to instruct and teach others. It may just be in the car or over coffee or in a classroom, but God has given you truth to share, to teach about the goodness of Jesus and about his love for others. Maybe there are people in your life who need to hear the gospel of Jesus, maybe for the first time or maybe for the 100th time, and you can teach them how God was made flesh, the Word of God was made flesh and dwelt among us and died to save people. Or maybe most importantly, you can use your words to heal relationships. Proverbs 15:4 says, a gentle tongue is a tree of life. Maybe it starts with, I'm sorry, or I forgive you. Are there three more powerful words than that? It may take more words and more time than that to heal a relationship completely, but it starts there. You can speak words of life, words of love, words of care. Don't use your words to lie, steal, and destroy. Use them to motivate, to instruct, to mend. Use your words like Jesus. And keep a package of M&Ms in your pocket as a reminder. You know, others of you have been deeply hurt by careless words of a parent or friend or spouse or someone you barely even know. And words can hurt. And sometimes they do hurt more than sticks. But I want you to remember that you can sometimes dismiss words outright based on the source. There are some people who do not know you or your character, and that the things that are flowing out of them have no truth in them at all. Don't give those words a second thought. But other times the words come from someone close to us and they sting. But don't let those words define who you are. They may say that you're worthless or useless or hated. But remember, that's not true. God loves you, and God says you're priceless, and God says he has a purpose and a plan for you and for your life. So forgive those people and turn your ear to hear the words of Jesus, who sings over you with joy, who says, I know your deepest, darkest secrets, and I still love you, who says, I know what you've done, but I forgive you, who says, you were once guilty, but now there is no condemnation for you and me. Listen to the one who truly knows you and who says you are his, and keep listening to his voice as you follow after him. You know, we don't think much about our words, figuring they're sort of like acorns and leaves. They're everywhere. They're a dime a dozen, and they don't matter. But our words are powerful. And Jesus says we will give an account one day for every idle word that we say. When we use our words foolishly, we're not merely acting like a jerk or being unkind, though that probably is true. We're moving away from wisdom. And when we move away from wisdom, we are moving away from Jesus. But when we bring our words under control, under His control by the power of the Spirit, we pattern our life after the one who created and saved us. Our tongues can derail or detour our lives. A quick email, a loose remark, a careless text. Our whole lives can be destroyed by just a handful of words. Because our mouth and our tongue is like a raging fire. But it is not just about speaking better or more carefully. Our words flow from our hearts. And only those who have a new heart through salvation in Jesus will ever have new words flow out of them. Words of praise, words of prayer, words of repentance. But when our hearts are changed, what comes from our lips will begin to sound like the wisdom of Jesus and less like the foolishness of our old life. Jesus, the very Word of God, who once was led silently to the slaughter, will soon return with a shout. And His words will declare that He has conquered sin and death and hell, and that He has paid for every idle word that we've ever said. And He will silence every word of condemnation, rebuke, or judgment to replace those words with something better. Forgiveness, words of justification, words of righteousness, words of love, and words of welcome home. And those words are the sounds of good news. Let's pray. God, we love You and we thank You for Your words, for the words of redemption and forgiveness and love and mercy. We thank You that You are patient with us, even as You don't like all the words that we say. Help us to use our words, not foolishly, to deceive or to disrupt or to damage others, but help us to use our words, like Jesus, to motivate, to instruct, and to mend, that we might image Him where we go. And when we fall short, may You forgive us and transform us and make us new until we hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." We pray all this in Jesus' name.